Proverbs chapter 24. Just want to remind you about why we're here, why we come to church, why the Lord saved us. Titus 2:14 says that Jesus Christ gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. Amen. That's why we're here. That's why we're Christians. That's why we come to church. That's why we listen to preaching and have preaching, is so that we can become purified and be zealous for good works. That's what the Lord wants from us. Not necessarily a religious people. There's plenty of religious people out there, plenty of religions. But a people zealous of good works, peculiar, special to him. And he loves us, and that's why he saved us, to redeem us from our iniquities. I want to talk to you tonight about a just man, a just man. Proverbs chapter 24, verses 15 and 16 is our text verses. I want to look tonight at the life of a just man, what he's going to encounter in his life. What's it actually look like? I mean, you think about a just man, well, it's a good man. Well, yeah, there is some truth to that. He is a good man. We'll talk about that here in just a second, but now, there's more than just that. There's a lot of things in a just man's life that he encounters. And I want to look at those things tonight. Proverbs 24, verses 15 and 16, Solomon, first he addresses the wicked man. He says, "Lay not wait, O wicked man, against the dwelling of the righteous. Spoil not his resting place. For the just man falleth seven times, and riseth up again, but the wicked shall fall into mischief." Solomon says to the wicked man, he says, hey, don't go around messing with a righteous man. It's not going to do any good to lay wait at his dwelling place and try to overthrow him and try to throw him down, because a just man is going to fall down seven times, but he's going to get back up. In other words, you're not going to keep a good man down. The Bible says, or he says there in the last part of verse number 16, he says, but in contrast to that, the wicked man is going to fall, but he's not going to get back up. He's going to fall into mischief, and he's not going to get back up. Now, the reason that the righteous man is going to get back up is because he has some help from the Lord. Amen. I don't want to get ahead of myself, but the righteous man has the Lord Jesus Christ on his side. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you, dear Lord, for all that you have given to us. Thank you for blessing us. Thank you for watching over us and taking care of us for another week. Lord, we love your word. We want you to speak to us out of your word. We are needy people. We don't have everything all figured out. We don't know everything. So we want you to lead us and guide us and direct us into all truth. That's why we're here this evening, because we want you to speak to us. So I pray that you'd speak to us, encourage us, and help us tonight. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So what is a just man going to encounter in his life? As I said before, you can't keep a good man down. I don't know who said that, but I believe that that's a true saying. It kind of goes along with these verses right here. The just man will fall down seven times, but he's going to get back up every time. You knock him down seven times, he's going to get up eight. You know, you think about, well, at the end of verse number 16, he says, but the wicked shall fall into mischief. You think about Judas Iscariot and how he betrayed our Lord Jesus Christ. Well, he didn't get back up after that episode. He fell into mischief and he didn't get back up. He went and hung himself because he went to the wrong place for forgiveness. He went back to the priest. He went back to the chief priest and he said, hey, I've done wickedly. I betrayed innocent blood. Now, what am I going to do about that? I feel bad about it. You know what he should have done? Should have went to Jesus Christ and said, hey, I did wrong. Help me out here. I want forgiveness. But the chief priest said, what is that to us? See thou to that. That's not my problem. So he felt horrible and he went and hung himself. But the just man falls down seven times and rises up again. He's going to get right back up. Now, what is a just man? What are some of the qualities of a just man? Two things that will identify a just man. The first one is he's a man of faith or a woman of faith. It's not only just men. We're talking about women too, mankind. He is a man or a woman of faith. In other words, he believes what God said. That's a just man. Now, someone who does not believe the Word of God is not a just person. But a just man will believe the Word of God. Paul said in Romans chapter 5, verses 1 and 2, "Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand." So a just man will believe what God said. He is a man or a woman of faith. Paul also said in the same book, Romans 1, verse number 17, "The just shall live by faith." You are not going to be a just man until you have faith, until you believe what God said. God's written us a book. He's given it to us in black and white. We are needy people. We need God. We need help from God. And He gives us the way to live. Hey man, you can't find a better book. You can't find a better book in the world than the Holy Bible right here. I mean, hey, we need guidance. We need help to live righteously because we are sinners. And we have to live by faith. So a just man is someone who has faith and believes what God said. Paul said in Galatians 2:20, "I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me." He said, the Christian life that I live by faith. So you got saved by faith, you saw your wickedness, you saw your sin, and you said, "Man, I'm undone, I can't save myself, I must go to someone who can save me." I put my faith in the gospel, I put my faith in Jesus Christ, and you were declared just. Amen. Yeah. So a just man lives by faith. He's a man of faith or a woman of faith. But not only that, he is a man or a woman of faithfulness. A man or a woman of faithfulness. You not only believe what God said, but you do what God said. Amen. You don't sit around and say, "Well, I believe, and then your whole life is a contradiction of what you say you believe. You do what God said. Amen. Faithfulness, that's a just man. Amen. Now, if you say, "Hey, I believe the Bible and I believe Jesus Christ and all this stuff," and yet your life is a total contradiction, you are not just, you are a hypocrite. You must believe, not only believe what God said, but do what God said. Too many people sit around and say, "Well, I've got faith, I believe, but yet they don't care 2 cents about what God said in His Word. Amen. That is not a just man. Not a just man. How about Job? Job chapter 1 and verse number 1, the Bible says that he was a perfect and upright man, one that feared God and eschewed evil. He did something about it. He didn't just say, I believe. He feared God and he eschewed evil. But I tell you what, Job wasn't all that perfect, even though the Bible says he was perfect. There was something that he lacked. Something that he lacked was he was a self-righteous man. And God had to deal with him. God must deal with him. Hey, you know what? God's going to deal with each and every one of us in different ways. You know what? I've got deficiencies. I've got things that I need God, I need help working on. And God's working on me. Is He working on you here this evening? Amen. He's going to be working on you until the day you die. Amen. If you're a Christian here. God doesn't leave His children alone. God ain't going to leave you alone. He's going to keep on working on you, keep on perfecting you, keep on putting things in your life that you need to be perfected. That's what God did with Job. How about old Rahab the harlot, the prostitute? Hey, she not only believed what God said, but she did what God said. The spies came up to her and said, "Hey, we're fixing to destroy Jericho." She didn't just sit around and say, "Well, I believe it. She hid the spies and put her faith to work. She is a just woman, the Bible says. So you not only believe what God said, you obey what God said. That's a just person. That's a just man. God justifies the ungodly, the Bible says, but He doesn't leave him ungodly. Like I told you before I even started preaching, God purifies unto Himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. He's not going to leave you ungodly. That's the reason he saved you, is to save you from your sins and from my sins. That's the whole problem right there, is a big three-letter word called sin. Ain't every one of us got a problem with that? So what do we need? We need the God-man to come down here and save us and help us. Hey, it's God. Jesus Christ is his right-hand man. And he said, I'm going to send him down there, and I'm going to help those fools down there that are wallowing around in their own sin. That's what they need. Aren't you glad that you got Jesus Christ as your Savior today? Man, how helpless and how hopeless we would be without the Lord Jesus Christ. So what about this just man? What characterizes the life of a just person? I mean, he doesn't just go on his way and never has any problems. He never goes on his way and he never has any kind of conflict. He never goes on his way and never needs any help from the Lord. The Lord is perfecting him, as I said. So what kind of life can we expect on our journey as a just man or a just woman? Well, the first thing we're going to run into is conflict. There's going to be some problems. If you try to live a godly life and live for the Lord Jesus Christ, do you know what's going to happen? You're going to run into some conflict. Yeah. Isn't that great? Aren't you glad about that this evening? Yeah. Man, all right, I'm going to get into a fight. Some conflict. I hate conflict. But yeah, we must have, there's going to be conflict in the Christian life. Next thing is going to be, is there going to be some failures? Did you know that you're going to fail throughout your Christian life? Yeah. I'm going to fail throughout my Christian life. Yeah. It's going to happen. Now, we don't justify failures and say, oh, well, you know, we're going to fail, so therefore, who cares? Oh, well, no, that's not what I'm saying. But there's going to be some failures. You're going to fall along the way. And then there's going to be restoration. There's going to be some restoration. The first thing you want to look at is you want to look at the conflict of a just man. You got any enemies out there today? Anybody that you run into? If you're living the Christian life and you're living it like you ought to, you know what? You're going to run into some enemies. You're going to have some conflict. You say, well, I don't have any enemies. Try living for the Lord. You know what the devil will start doing? He'll start messing with you. He'll put people in your path to mess you up. Because he doesn't like it. He hates it whenever people start living for God. Anytime anybody tried to start living for the Lord in the Bible, you know what he did? The Bible stood up against him. He makes war against those who live for the Lord Jesus Christ. So you're going to run into conflict, and you better expect it, because it's coming. It's coming. Winston Churchill said, you have enemies? Good. That means you stood up for something sometime in your life. Yeah. You say, well, I don't ever have any kind of conflict. I don't have any kind of enemies. Are you standing up for anything today? Or are you just kind of floating along, going downstream with everything else? Because things that are alive go upstream against the current. Dead fish flow downstream. They don't go against the current. You going against the current today? Because that's what God does. He goes against the current. You look in Genesis chapter number 6, and the Bible says that God was against the wickedness of man. He said, I tell you what, I want to send a flood. My spirits are not always strive with man, the Bible says. He's striving. He's going against them. You know what happens when the Holy Spirit gets on the inside of you? You start striving. There's something inside of you that wants to go against the flesh. Amen. There's something inside of you that wants to go against the world. There's something inside of you that wants to go against the devil. I'll tell you what, because God is against sin, and he's against unrighteousness and wickedness. Amen. So you're going to run into some conflict if you're a just man. If you're living by the Word of God, you can just expect it. Better look for it. So we got three enemies. You got the world, you got the flesh, you got the devil. You know what the world's trying to do? The world's trying to get you all wrapped up in everything down here on the earth. They're trying to say, hey man, look at this car. Look at this house. Man, you got to have this, you got to have that. You got to have that new watch, you got to have all those shiny things, man. You got to have it. You know what? All that stuff's going to crumble and it's going to rot away one of these days. The only thing that's going to be left is going to be God. Amen. And that's it. Yeah. That's it. You know, God is the most real thing ever. That's the only real thing there is God. God is the most real thing that there is. You see that pulpit right there? One of these days it's going to turn into a pile of dust. That's what's going to happen to that. You know what's going to happen to this body one of these days? They're going to put it in a grave and it's going to crumble up into dust. It's not real. You know what? All these watches and money and gold and all these different things, buildings and all that stuff, you know, it's not real. You know the only real thing there is out there? It's God. Because everything was made by God. Everything. You know, the only thing you got that's eternal in this world is the Word of God.
Amen. That's right.
That's it. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away.
Yeah.
Man, what a privilege it is to be able to sit down and read the Word of God.
Amen.
That's the only real thing you got.
Yeah.
One of these days, hey, even Job said, after I pass this life, in my flesh I shall see God. I'm going to see Him one of these days.
Amen.
That's the only real thing there is. Mark my words. Hey, no telling how long it will be before all this stuff crumbles and goes away, but you know what's going to be? The only thing that's going to be left is God. So the world's trying to get you all wrapped up in temporal things. That's what they're trying to do. And then what do? You spend your whole life working for something that's going to crumble away one of these days. You get up there and you find out, man, there wasn't nothing to it. That's it. So that you got the world who's against you. You know what the Bible says? Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth.
Amen.
Hey, man, Jesus Christ is real.
Yeah.
You're going to see Him one of these days. But the pews you're sitting on aren't. And the body you're living in is not. But Jesus Christ is real. Aren't you glad that, man, I tell you what. Man, what a life. What a life. I wouldn't want to live another life than the Christian life. It's wonderful. It's wonderful.
Amen.
You got the world who's against you. Man, they're trying to get you all wrapped up in all of these things. Don't get wrapped up in those things. Get wrapped up in righteousness and holiness and the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Get wrapped up in those things.
Amen.
You got the Word of God who teaches you what to do, teaches you how to live. You got the world that is against you as your enemy. You better expect it. This whole world system is geared towards against the Bible and against Christianity.
Yeah.
The whole thing is geared against it. You got the world, you got a sinful nature, the flesh, this stuff right here. You can look at it and you can feel it. It's against the Word of God. It's an enemy of the Word of God. You read the Bible sometimes, you say, man, you know, sometimes that old flesh will rise up in you, won't it? That old sinful nature will rise up. Rebellion against the Word of God. Hey, I want to do what I want to do when I want to do it. I'm not going to have anybody telling me what to do. Rebellious. It wants to sin. You ever tried? It wants to sin. The old flesh wants to sin. You got a sinful nature. It's against the Word of God. Cares about self. Cares about pampering itself. Cares about taking care of itself. It doesn't care about other people. Doesn't care about the Word of God. It only cares about itself. It's against you. You're going to run into conflict. You got the world, you got the flesh, and then number three, you have the devil. Conflict. You're going to run into those things. The Bible says the God of this world had blinded the minds of them which believe not. He doesn't want anybody to believe. He doesn't want anybody to become a Christian. He doesn't want any of those things. The Bible says, be sober, be vigilant for your adversary the devil. Now, He said that to Christians. He said it to Christians. Be sober, be vigilant, for your adversary the devil walketh about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. The Bible the devil does not want you to have a good life. He does not want you to serve God. He does not want you to have a good marriage. He does not want you to love your kids. He does not want you to teach your kids. He throws all the fiery darts of the wicked get thrown into your mind. You have obstacles that you must overcome. That's the first thing we see about a just man. He has all kinds of conflict. Conflict. Over there in verse number 15. I believe it's verse number 15. Lay not wait, O wicked man, against the dwelling of the righteous. You have enemies. You have conflict. And we have those, the world, the flesh, and the devil that is against us. The devil is the spirit that runs the world. He is opposed to God and to all of His children. Amen. He's opposed to you. And if you believe the Word of God and endeavor to live by the Word of God, mark my words, you will have trouble. You'll have conflict. You'll have conflict. And if you haven't yet, you will. But guess what? You're also going to have some failures. You're going to run into trouble and you're going to have failures. You're going to fail sometimes in this life. There is no doubt that at some point, each and every one of us are going to fail. Now think about how many times a child falls learning how to walk. I remember my daughter Cassidy learning how to walk, and she was the one that learned how to walk the fastest. Before she was even 1 year old, she was running around, walking. I tell you what, when she was a little baby, her legs were bowed out like this, and she would kind of walk around like this, and we thought, man, there's something wrong with her legs. They had a Kmart over there in Borger one time, and she was walking around with her bottle, walking like that. And a woman came up to us, and she said, hey, have you ever taken her to a Shriners Hospital? She can fix her legs. We thought, well, no, we haven't. But we let it go. And, hey, it turned out okay. Her legs look fine today. It was just because she started walking at such a young age that her legs were bowed out like that. I try to think about how many times a little girl, my daughter, anybody else in here, has fallen down learning how to walk. Hey, whenever you're born again as a new Christian, you're going to fall down a lot.
That's right, man.
I mean, you can't expect perfection from a little baby Christian. You just can't do it. They're going to fall, and they're going to fall, and they're going to fall. After you mature a little bit, and you grow a little bit, hey, you start walking. You start learning, and then you start running. You got to get stronger and stronger and stronger as a child of God. But you can expect failures. You expect to fall in your Christian life. Hey, the just man falleth seven times. He didn't say, hey, a just man is never going to fall. A just man is never going to fail. He didn't say that. A just man will fall seven times. Hey, seven times is a lot. But you're going to fall, and you're going to fall many times. Thomas Edison, the inventor of the light bulb, his teachers said he was too stupid to learn anything. That's about Thomas Edison, too stupid to learn anything. He was fired from his first two jobs for being non-productive. Now, can you imagine that about Thomas Edison? As an inventor, Edison made 1,000 unsuccessful attempts at inventing the light bulb. 1,000 unsuccessful attempts. You know what? I would have stopped after about three. We would still be in here using candles. But not Thomas Edison. He kept trying and he kept trying and he kept trying. He kept failing and kept failing and kept failing and kept failing until he finally got the light bulb. He said, I haven't failed. I've just found 10,000 ways it won't work. Hey, man, good. That's a good attitude to have. You think about people in the Bible. Plenty of people have failed in the Bible. How about the patriarch Jacob? Failed and failed and failed. Deceived Isaac and stole the blessing from his brother Esau. Hey, that's a failure right there, a moral failure. How about Moses? He gave excuses for why he couldn't go out and speak to the children of Israel. God said, hey, Moses, I want you to go out and talk to the children of Israel and tell them, let my people go. I'm here, I'm your deliverer. He said, man, I can't talk. Who am I? God said, hey, who made man's mouth? Who helped you to speak? Plenty of failures out there. Moses was a failure. He lost his temper one time and smote the rock twice when God said to speak to the rock. That's a failure. Failed many times. Many times. How about David? David, he fell into lust. He fell into murder. He fell into all of these things. But he rose up again, didn't he? Each and every one of us are going to have failures. He had pride. He had trouble when people were going to stone him one time. You look about, you know, you think about the Bible. The Bible doesn't sugarcoat all the failures of its heroes. That's the way the Scriptures are. That's the way we're going to be. You know, we're going to have failures out there. What are some of the weaknesses and failures that you struggle with on a daily basis? Because I bet you have some, don't you? How about pride? Anybody here struggle with pride? Of course you're going to have pride, fear, anxiety, all of these things. You're going to have trouble. Sometimes those things will get the best of you sometimes. The Bible paints a picture of New Testament Christians who fall sometimes. And sometimes we're going to fall. 1 Corinthians chapter number 5 tells you about a man who fell. But he got right. And he was forgiven. And they took him back into the fold. Sometimes we're going to fall. Paul said in Galatians 6, 1 and 2, "Brethren, if any man be overtaken in a fault, you which are spiritual, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ." So we're going to have failure sometimes. You know what? We ought to restore other people as well. Hey, they repent and they get right. Hey, restore them. Restore them in the spirit of meekness. Come to the truth and say, "Hey, I know I'm a sinner." You know, even James says, "Confess your faults one to another." Hey, nobody's perfect out there. So each and every one of us are going to have failures, we're going to have faults, but we ought to be striving for perfection. Striving for perfection. The true view of the just man is one who knows who he is and acknowledges the truth about himself and his failures. The Bible tells us if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. That's what characterizes the just man. That's what characterizes a Christian. They know who they are. They know how they failed. They know that they needed to be saved. And they know that they needed Lord Jesus Christ to save them. So each and every one of us are going to have failures. We're going to have faults. We're going to have troubles that we deal with. But guess what? Hey, man, that's not the end of it. The just man falleth down 7 times, but then he rises up again. He doesn't stay down. He gets back up. He always rises again. Now he says 7 times. Hey, that's a lot of times for somebody to fall. You know what? We got help in the Lord Jesus Christ. As I told you earlier, hey, God sent down His right-hand man to be there to help us. He sent His Holy Spirit down here to help us whenever we fall. And He's going to get back. We're going to get back up. The just man falleth down 7 times, but then rises up again. We don't stay down like old Judas Iscariot. You think about Peter, same story, same book of the Bible. Peter denied Jesus Christ 3 times. And then he went out and he wept bitterly. And he said, "You know what? I'm quitting. I go fishing. I used to be a fisherman. I used to live like the devil. And I'm going back that way. I deny the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm so ashamed of it. And I ain't going back. I go a fishing. I'm done." He went out fishing. He looked out on the seashore. And he seen somebody out there and said, "Hey, that looks like the Lord. I'm going to jump out there and I'm going to the Lord. That's where I'm going." He got over to the seashore and talked to the Lord Jesus Christ. You know what Jesus said? He didn't say, "Hey, you stupid idiot. Why did you deny me 3 times? You're a failure, Peter." No, he didn't. Not at all. He said, "Peter, lovest thou me?" And of course, Peter said, "Yeah, I do love you. Of course I love you." Jesus Christ asked him again, "Peter, lovest thou me?" You know, you got to think about Peter and what he must be thinking at this point. Man, he's asking me 2 times, and I do love the Lord. Why is he asking me again, twice? "Yes, Lord, I love you." 3 times. "Peter, lovest thou me more than these? Lord, you know all things, and you know that I love you." You know what the Lord said? "Feed my sheep." And he said, "Get out of here. I've had enough of you." No, he restored him. You know, that's what a just man can expect. The just man can expect the Lord Jesus Christ to lift him up and restore him back. Peter got his apostleship back. The Lord didn't kick him away. Amen. Now, if Judas would have came back to the Lord, he probably would have got forgiveness from the Lord. Yeah. But he didn't. You know, in your Christian life, when you fall and you fail and you're going to fall and you're going to fail, just know that you have Jesus Christ there to help you. And He wants to help you. And He wants to lift you up. And He wants to restore you back to your place. And He wants you to be better than you were before you fell. Because Peter goes out there and he preaches on the day of Pentecost and 3,000 people got saved. You know what? That encourages me a lot. That encourages me a lot because, hey, man, I'm the same kind of flesh and blood that Peter was. And if the Lord would look on Peter and restore him back to his apostleship and fill him with the Spirit the way that he did and preach and 3,000 people get saved, you know what? God can use anybody. He'll restore anybody if you go back to him. We have a place of restoration. The Lord brings us back. Jesus Christ, He is God's right hand man. And he reaches down and he lifts up those that are broken and hurting. That's what he does. So we have hope. You get discouraged during the week. You get full of anxiety and worry. Who do you go to? Well, I don't go to me. I better not. I don't go to anybody else. I go to the Lord. I'll go to Jesus Christ. I need some help. So that's where I go to.
Amen.
A just man falleth down 7 times, but riseth up again. He doesn't get up on his own power. He's got somebody there that's a lot stronger than he is. And he picks him up and he helps him get back on his feet. That's who we have. We have Jesus Christ. Let me read you a couple of verses out of Psalms. Psalms 34, 19 to 22. The Bible says, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth him out of them all. He keepeth all his bones, not a one of them is broken. Evil shall slay the wicked, and they that hate the righteous shall be desolate. The Lord redeemeth the soul of his servants, and none of them that trust in him shall be desolate. Now, we started out the message by the just shall live by faith. We trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. We are a people of faith. And you know what? The Lord's going to deliver us. The Lord's going to help us out of every trouble, every trial, and every fall that there is out there. Jesus overcame the world, and we can overcome the world through our faith in Jesus Christ. Now, that's something that each and every one of you can use. You're going to have trouble, you're going to have trials, you're going to have conflict, and you might even fall. But Jesus Christ is going to be there to help you and to pick you back up. That's a just man. That's what you can expect in your life, in your Christian life. Let's pray. Heavenly Father,